Hey, this is Hal Hester. I'm the pastor of Vineyard Christian Church, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on how God is moving in your life. Please enjoy the message.
This morning, I have the pleasure of recapping 2020. You might say to yourself, pleasure, you know, did you live through the same year I did? Yes, absolutely. And you know, the amazing thing is that in a year that was fraught with all kinds of difficulties, we saw God do a lot of really cool things. I'm looking forward to sharing a little bit with you about that. We do this every year. We take a look at the kind of the key scriptures that speak of the purpose for the church, the mission of the church, not just this church, but for all churches. And we reflect a little bit on that, on what God has called on us to do. And so if you are a member here, you know that that's a great time of kind of just looking back and thinking through what we've actually accomplished over the year. Helps us to have a moment of reflection, think through what we're doing that's on track, what needs to be adjusted. If you are new and this is your first time, well, there are a number of people who have made this their church home last year when we did this because of what they found out about who we are and what we do. And so I hope that you discover the same thing and that it will bless you as you find out what our heart is as a church. So, I think this year specifically, you know, is especially significant because we are also entering our 10th year as a church. Actually, in a couple of weeks, we will celebrate 9 years ago that we had our first public service. Come June, the last weekend in June was 10 years ago that my family and I arrived to stay permanently. This time, 10 years ago, actually my family and I were here. We spent several weeks here just shopping for houses, getting the lay of the land before we headed, back to work. And it was a really great time of spending time with friends and that live here. And so 10 years, big deal. So at the end of this month, 9th anniversary, and then everything after that, we celebrate the 10th time of doing things. So pretty cool, and I'm looking forward to actually planning some special events for us. Well, our two texts this morning are those two foundational texts I mentioned, Matthew chapter 22, 34 through 40, and then we're going to scroll down a couple of chapters there to Matthew 28, 18 to 20, looking at those two foundational scriptures, the first being the Great Commandment, and then the second being the Great Commission, that are the mission of the church. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. Please follow along in whatever translation you have. That one in your lap is my favorite. And we will take a look here. Matthew chapter 22, we read these words. And when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For on these two commandments hang all, or depend all, the law and the prophets. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 reads, and then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Blessed be the reading of God's holy word. Well, as I said, these two texts make up the mission or the purpose of every Christian church. regardless of anything else that we do, unique as a body here in our context and our location or whatever else, these are the things in which are the calling of the church worldwide, the church throughout all time and history. And then we make adjustments to those things for our context. In other words, how we walk those things out, how we exercise those things is context specific. But the command to do those things is the command to every church. Now, our way of summarizing that is just a very simple phrase: love God, love people, and pass it on. Love God, of course, obviously is a paraphrase of that greatest commandment, you know, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. On this is what hangs all the commandments, right? In fact, if you think about it, that first command to love God is essentially the first five of the Ten Commandments. It's expressing our heart, our love for God. And then likewise, the second commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, that's loving people. And it has to do with this, the whole second half of the law, and that how we relate to one another, how we deal with people in respect and honor of God, and how that we treat them, which ultimately boils down to loving them even as we love ourselves. And then pass it on is a summary paraphrase of the great commandment to go and to make disciples of all nations. Literally, that word in the Greek, all ethnos, from which we get our word ethnicities. In other words, it's not referring to making nations in the sense of geopolitical borders, but thinking in terms of every race of people under heaven, that there is no one that is exempt from the need of the gospel and no one who we have the right to ignore. Now, last year, as we entered into 2020, I think if you'll remember, if you were here, I expressed this little bit of disappointment because when I was in Bible college and they would talk about 2020 someday and they would talk about vision casting, and one of the things they would say all those years ago was someday, you know, in 2020, you'll be able to talk about having a 2020 vision, you know, and like people really like were into that, like, hey, you know, we've got crystal clear vision, you know. One of my early mentors, Tony Roach, was always good about having a new catchphrase for every year to express. And I remember him talking about, you know, that's going to be a fun one, you know, you're going to have a lot of fun doing that. So we get to 2020, and I'm like going, you know, man, this is going to be great. We get to talk about having a great vision for the year. And I start praying in July for what, you know, God wants to do in this next year. And I spent several months praying over that as I normally do, but just kept feeling like not getting anything. We're getting later in the year. I'm beginning to panic. I'm starting to think, God, is there a problem here? Because, like, as you know, normally I feel like I hear from you really clearly, and this year is getting longer, and or should I say shorter? And what's up? And finally, in October, I get this profound word from the Lord. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, really? Like, we're going to go into 2020, and the profound thing I'm going to say about 2020 is keep doing it. That's it. That's the big word for 2020. Just stick to it. Last orders are standing orders. And I was like, wow, that like stinks, you know, like. And so then, you know, I after praying about it, I just really felt that really is what the Lord's saying to us. And I shared that with you. And I said, so we're just, that's our word. Our commission is to keep standing on what we stood on over the last year, that God wants us to continue to fulfill those things. And I was really, really frustrated with stay the course and be faithful. And then I got to hear other people like do 20/20 vision stuff, you know, because like I listen to the internet just like you do, right? And so I'm like listening to these guys, you know, talk about, yeah, and the Lord's given us a 20/20 vision, crystal clear. We've heard from the Lord. And then 2020 came. Oh, can I just tell you that I am so grateful that there was nothing in me at that moment that gave into the temptation of a pseudo vision from the Lord. Hello? I was really, grateful and humbled by the simple fact that as I prayed through that year that I didn't give in to the idea of building my own kingdom or saying something that I would later have to retract. Can I tell you how happy I was that when the accountability of the Lord came calling, that I was able to say that I was honest in my dealings with you and the Lord? There's nothing I desire more as a pastor than to finish this life well and to hear from him, well done, good and faithful servant. I hope that's your desire too. That as you think about the course of your life and all the other things that you would like to have happen, that ultimately that the thing that you would say no matter what is, I want to finish well. It's not enough to start well. In fact, you can start off on the wrong foot entirely, right? You and I could start off in life. Isn't that the message of the gospel inherently in itself, is that it doesn't matter how you start, what matters is how you finish. Amen? And so I'm really glad that I didn't have to retract anything, and we'll just leave it right there. Now, part of our 2020 vision in terms of staying the course then, we had the year before set up a goal, what we called refinement, kind of putting some things in order around here in terms of our mission, in terms of fixing things, in terms of just, making everything function more smoothly, things like that. And so as we rounded the corner into 2020, we decided that 2020 was refinement 2.0 if we were going to keep fulfilling those things. And so you guys gave generously. We didn't do a big campaign. We actually shot video for a bigger drive. And just as we finished shooting that video and editing it and putting it together, and we're ready to share it with you, we had the first hint of the pandemic. And we were like, wow, you know, it seems like really like bad timing to do a promotional video on giving when like, you know, a lot of people are really in straits right now. And so we didn't say that. We didn't do that. We just made people aware that we were going to continue to carry on with refinement in a 2.0 way. But and here's the cool thing is that people decided to just basically do what they had been doing the year before and continued to give to the refinement campaign over and above their regular giving. And we were able to accomplish almost everything on our list throughout the course of the year. Now, there was a few little minor changes. Part of them in terms of just we had to add some technology because suddenly we found ourselves having to come up with an online presence. And, our original plan was, hey, we want to go online. We really want to go online. In 2023, that was the goal, to have all the technology in place to go online in 2023, or not, you know. And we shifted some of our funds there to go ahead and get us online a little ahead of time, so we did not upgrade our soundboard, like which was the plan. We decided that since the majority of people were at home, and just a handful of people continuing to be here, we were, you know, we got at one point as everybody was needing to be online, we made sure that we had a good online presence. But we also knew that we had a number of people who that really wasn't an option. If you are financially on the margins and the only access to the internet you have is either the library, which was closed, or your cell phone that you are getting from, you know, the government, you're not going to be burning through all of your data watching a service. It's just not fiscally good idea to do. And so one of the things that we did is that we pulled in our tents and we very low-key continued to hold a small service here all through the pandemic because our governor said that we could, and we had people who wanted to continue to worship. And so the team, the staff, we decided that we would put ourselves in the place to do that. So after much prayer, we continued to hold the service here quietly, but not trying to draw the attention of our neighbors and our community. One, didn't think it would be a good idea to capitalize on growing our church at the expense of other churches. I thought that would be really unchristlike if we said, hey, everybody else, since your church isn't meeting, you come here and we can just forget everybody else. I just didn't think that was appropriate. I just didn't think that was God-honoring. So we didn't do that. But we did leave our doors open for those who financially found themselves on the margin or just this is what they needed. The online thing wasn't working for them. You know, sometimes people have access to technology, but it's just isn't, maybe they're not very technologically savvy. Maybe they're very alone anyhow. And so we had a small group of people who continued to meet here. We pre-recorded our services for a while. Eventually we got them online all together in live stream. But my point just simply being, there were a couple of items in refinement we didn't get to do. We will not be doing refinement 3.0. I just don't feel that's what the Lord wants us to do. I've got some things to share with you about how I think we're going to get those last things taken care of. I'll just simply say this. We have some savings. We've budgeted some things. And so we're not going to need to do a refinement 3.0 to make things work. We stayed on track. And so big kudos to you for, being faithful in fulfilling your commitments to refinement 2.0. So here's some things that ought to encourage you. This year, despite all that was going on, we had 9 baptisms this year, and we had 4 baby dedications, which is, you know, a pretty good number for a church our size. Right now, you know, in terms of live attendance between 2 services, we're running just a little over 200. But, you know, for a big part of the year, we had 50 people or less, and we, managed to have those 9 baptisms. And what's particularly important in that is that I get reports all the time from, we have belong to a thing called Church Metrics that compares churches across denominations nationwide. And so I fill out reports every week and I get feedback about what churches, not only in the Vineyard, but all across different denominational lines are doing, specifically comparing things and like our size of church, our size of town, just looking and seeing, how are we doing? Are we doing comparatively well, comparatively having a hard time or whatever, just asking questions. The other thing is we get numbers from other Vineyard churches. And did you know in 2019, just a normal year, right? 2019 was a normal year. Actually, we had a really good year in 2019. Can I just tell you, I was excited about what was going to happen in 2020, you know, looking at 2019 and yeah, okay, you too, huh? Anyhow, went into that year, at the beginning of 2020, I got stats, And what I actually discovered is that the vast majority of churches in the United States of America didn't baptize a single person. Not one. And when I say the vast majority, I don't mean like 51%. I mean closer to 90%. Not a one. Not because of theological differences about baptism or something like that. I mean just simply didn't make disciples. Didn't follow through. Occasionally just did an altar call, maybe, and prayed with people. But as I've told you before, and following up on a lot of those altar call kind of prayers, you find out that people actually were responding to a message about marriage or finances or whatever else. And they just thought, well, maybe if I pray that prayer, it'll fix my marriage or my finances. But they weren't really responding to the gospel. They just wanted God to put a Band-Aid on their problems. And so, I've said this again and again, and I cannot stress it enough, is that the American church is in trouble not because of what's happening in the world, but because of what's happening in the church or the lack thereof. This isn't the fault of the world. We can't keep blaming and pointing our fingers at the world and talk about how wicked and evil the world is, because in the two-thirds world, the church is growing explosively. Half of all Christians that have ever been alive in all of history are alive right now. The Church of Jesus Christ is advancing forcefully over the face of the earth, but not in Western Christianity, where we once held the title of champion of the faith. It's just not happening, because we're just not doing it. We are increasingly hiding in our ghettos. We have our own stations, our own schools, our own everything, until we don't have to interact with the world and they don't have to interact with us. And the Great Commission is not being accomplished. It's a serious problem, church. It's called unfaithfulness on the part of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is the great commandment, not the great opinion. It is the great commandment, not the great option. And if we are not making disciples, you are fundamentally saying, I want Jesus to save me, but I want the permission to absolutely disobey his greatest commandment. It should not, cannot be an option for you and I to say, well, you don't know how hard it is for me to share the gospel. This is a critical moment for the church. And if he's actually King Jesus, then our not making disciples is called treason. We're in a really critical moment, church. All across Western Christianity. And if God will judge Israel for a lack of faithfulness, would he judge his church? You better believe he will. He can lift his hand of protection off of us and leave us to the powers that be in the world until we decide that the mission is important. Acts chapter 4, he did it to the church in Jerusalem. And the church in the United States, if you didn't think this last year was a wake-up call, or if you thought it was going to be solved with your vote, I'm telling you that the issue is a matter of faithfulness. The church needs to repent. We need to quit blaming the world for being evil. The world has always been full of evil. When the church was birthed, the world was in absolute chaos. It hasn't gotten harder. It's actually gotten easier than it was in the first century church. We're not a handful against the entire world. We're billion strong. We're in a very, very critical moment. So while I am happy that we had 9 baptisms this year and 4 baby dedications, church, I am severely distressed by the fact that across the body of Christ, that if in 2019 we were kind of on the cutting edge for the size of our church with 15 baptisms, what happened in 2020, I wonder, across the board? See, we don't have those stats yet. We're going to get them. But I'm wondering if we weren't faithful when we were absolutely free to meet, what happened in 2020? I'm hopeful for 21, for it to be a fruitful year for us, that we would reach even more people and make even more disciples of Christ, and we'd see even more children raised in godly homes. But it's important that we recognize the hour that we're in. We also added several new life groups at the start of the year, some of which were interrupted, of course, by what was going on and have not been returned yet to meeting. But the majority of our groups have continued to meet. Currently, we have 11 life groups with 3 more in the pipeline. So it's our goal that every life group would grow in its attendance and raise up new life group leaders from among their own, so that everyone in our church could be in a life group. It's important for us to do life together. Life group isn't just like about Bible study. Life group, that's why the first word is life, is that it's about us doing life together, sharing our lives, caring for one another. It's the first unit of care whenever we're talking about things like somebody gets sick, and that the first persons they ought to hear from are their life group. The first people that ought to be checking in on them is a life group. When people need meals, the first people that ought to be responding is their life group. And so it's that unit of care, of looking after one another in life. And so if you're not currently in a life group, let me really urge you to be in a life group. I know that it means reorienting your life schedule possibly a little bit to make it work for you, but I cannot stress enough, it's not just like we want you to go to this thing so that we can have more life groups. That's really not the point. The point is that we do life together and take care of one another, and so I really want to urge you to do that. Our goal this year is to make sure that we have 15 or more life groups by the end of the year, and so continuing to pray into that. If we can go from 8 to 11 even in a difficult year, I don't see any reason why we couldn't get all the way to 15 or more in the course of this year. And so let's continue to pray to that end. Still feeding people at the Joseph's table. That we stayed open all through the shutdown and fed people out here. So I've got to give the kudos to 2 people in particular, to Jeff Montrose and Jill Yates. Let's give them a big hand. That's not to discount others that were working back there, but I know that really it was because the 2 of them really did everything they could to make sure that somebody was there with a meal, sometimes just the 2 of them. Let's lift up Jeff also in prayer. He's been sick all weekend. No, it's not COVID. He's been tested 4 times now. No, it's not COVID. It's also caught. He's had some heart palpitations and such. So anyhow, if you could continue to lift him up in prayer. Jill's been keeping things together, but just big hats off to them. On average, we feed about 30 people a day, 6 days a week. Sometimes more. Sometimes it's upwards of 50 people. And we have lots of people working in that area of ministry. But you're talking about something like 9,000 meals served this past year. I think that's amazing in and of itself. Yeah. And can I say, you know, I know there is an impression that that's primarily feeding the homeless. And can I just tell you, that's actually not accurate. The majority of people being fed out there are people who are living on the margins, and they're choosing between rent and eating. And so we have a lot of folks out there who are part of our community, and they've maybe gotten to the point of retirement, and they're living on Social Security or social insecurity, as Dave Ramsey would say. And it's either Alpo for dinner or a meal out at Joseph's table. That's actually the vast majority of people who make up the food, the feeding ministry. And the thing is, too, about those folks is that they're not just taking, like coming in and sitting down. They're helping to clean and pick up and different things. While I'm really grateful when we help someone who has absolutely nothing, is homeless, I think there's something really significant to be said about when people are on the margins and they're having to make those kinds of choices, that we show that kind of mercy and compassion for our community, and kind of dispel a little bit. You know, there's like this rumor that goes around and that I've been trying to fight for years, that we are, as a church, promoting a homeless problem downtown. Can I tell you, there was a homeless problem when I got here? Actually, it was a lot worse. And we have really done a lot to curb, especially some of the begging down at the businesses downtown and things, and all. It's helped a whole lot. You have done more to help than you have done to hurt. And so I just think it's really important to kind of set the record straight, because you've got friends and neighbors and things that are out there spreading those other stories. And so I want you to get the real story. And the real story is there was a problem long before we got here. We've actually been able to curb a whole lot of it. There's real rules down there that you have to follow. And if you don't follow them, you get kicked out and you can't come back. And so a lot of people who've broken the rules literally have been moved on out of the county because there was no place left for them to go, because we were their last hope. And so when they broke those rules, it moved them on out of our county. Whenever I've stood out there with those officers a few times and had those conversations, and they're like, man, all the dumbest things I could think of would be to make an enemy out of the Vineyard if you're in that position, because you guys are their hope. You guys are the place where they're able to eat. You don't have that tougher rules. So I was encouraged by the fact that our police officers recognize that and honor us, and have spoken just lots of blessing over us and do a lot to set the record straight. But anyhow, all right. In the unexpected turn of events in 2020, we added, like I said, live stream. And as I mentioned, that was supposed to be in 2023, not 2020. Just a little early, just a little. Odd Life Studios, that's Life and Audrey, brought in equipment to help us get up and start filming. Eventually, we did transition to an actual live stream, had Keith Olson and Life also just help us to get a purchase done. We got equipment of our own. And then we began the learning curve of equipment on our own. You don't know how many hours Life spent just being here on a Thursday and helping. I mean, literally would spend sometimes the whole day on Thursday with us as we recorded and got everything together and edited, and then published that on Sunday morning, the same time that we were having our little gathering of about 50 people, so that everybody just kind of thought we were online. The truth was, we were doing that all ahead of time, preparing all of that ahead of time, Worship was pre-recorded, everything else. The reason we're not doing worship right now with the live stream comes down to this. It takes a special set of recording settings to make the music tolerable online. So if you just try to record live and you don't have like millions of dollars of equipment to record that sound and a whole nother team just to deal with the sound issues that come up, like, it's horrible. What sounds good in here and live in the room does not sound good online. And so that takes a whole nother set of skills. That's why we did it during the shutdown, because we pre-recorded on Thursday. So literally we got everything done on Wednesday for the whole week. We did a week's worth of work, basically. It was a little easier. No one was around. And we got everything done on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we basically did our weekend service on Thursday. And then we did it again on Sunday. We even went to the point of making sure we dressed the same way, everything else. I got to just give big, kudos to the staff for all the extra work. It really was a big deal, in addition to life and to Keith. And so let's give them all a big hand. So where we're at right now, we are realizing that live stream, if you're not, if you don't have a huge team to do that, like right now, it really is a lot of stress on that team, on our audiovisual team, to do that and do everything they were already doing. And so we need some people. We could use some volunteers who want to learn that high end, of the technology of that. And so it's going to take some dedicated time, energy, and it can't be something that you just do like once in a great while. It would take some real concerted effort to raise up that team. And so we're praying for that. The other thing that we're looking at is the reality that when all those churches went online, it nearly crashed the internet. And so we're realizing a couple of things. That one, shorter, these short streams are important. There's also the reality that now that we're just doing the live thing during this service, it doesn't have that same warm feel that it had when we pre-recorded and zoomed in and were able to edit and stuff ahead of time. And as we're looking, even at a lot of the really large churches have gone to back to pre-recording and creating online specific content does not feel like you're just dropping in and eavesdropping. So we're working on all that. Basically going to create another campus online. But that's going to take some work, some effort, some resources. I do think, here's the reality, online's not going away. I don't know if you've noticed, but just looking at what's happening socially, those things are not going away anytime soon. And so we need to continue to address those things. Besides that, one of the things that we wanted to do beforehand was be able to create something that people could check out content online before they ever came here. Because more and more, people do not drop in and want to ask questions. They drop into your online to see if you're a safe place, and they'll visit you 3, 4. Sometimes we've had people that have been visiting been checking us out online, listening to us for anywhere from 6 months to a year before they ever step foot in the building, trying to determine what we're really like and whether or not we're really safe, and does the message change with the seasons, or are we consistent in who we are? Are we safe? What do we think like? How do we behave? Are we consistent in those things? So we really do need some dedicated volunteers to train in order to pull that off, and that's no small order. So let me ask you to be praying about that. It could be you praying about your role, if that's something that you have an interest in. It could be something that you're praying that we raise up those folks because you know that's not anywhere in your wheelhouse, and that's okay. It's something unique and special. So continue to pray over that. All right, could not pull off the barbecue, mostly because We had people who were interested in giving us stuff for the barbecue. However, we with like 50 people around, it was kind of hard to, you know, when something that normally takes a couple hundred volunteers. And we thought, this is going to be a disaster if we get the money together and can even make the food. Like, how do we make sure that people are taken care of so that it feels like people are being loved on in our community, cared for, etc.? And then the thought crossed our mind, what if you have a bad player, a bad actor in this situation who just decides to sink the church by doing something bad at our what was meant to be a blessing? And the more we thought about that and the few number of people we had, we just finally concluded that it wasn't a good year to have a barbecue. So, October 3rd, Sunday, October 3rd, 2021 is the plan. We will be praying between now and then, whether or not it is feasible, reasonable, or anything else. Would you please join us in prayer for that? Asking the Lord, because we need to make those decisions fairly early in the year in order to pull that all together. But we have set some funds aside ahead of time to make sure that we are able. Here's the reality, as I mentioned before, with the whole baptism thing, outreach is fundamentally dying in the American church. A lot of what's called outreach in churches is actually just helping other Christians with things. There is actually no outreach involved. There's no actually coming in contact with people who don't know Jesus. And, you know, considering that 74% of people in the United States of America don't claim to be a Christian, there's not a lack. It's not like the church has somehow evangelized. I know when you live in Brooksville, Florida, it's easy to think everybody goes to church because there's a church on every corner. Can I just tell you that most of these church buildings are empty? I don't mean that mean-spirited. I mean, it's just the reality. And they barely have enough money to keep the lights on, let alone to do outreach. So in a lot of denominations, like start at somewhere between 17 and 35% in terms of the fees that they pay to the national office in order to keep the national office going. Our affiliation with the Vineyard, we've given 3%. Right now, that is they're talking about more. We are just really praying about what our future is there. Because I'm not interested in giving a bunch of money to keep offices running. I just got to be honest. My concern is actually doing the work of the kingdom, not in bureaucracy. And so we'll keep praying to that end. Nonetheless, we are looking toward doing that outreach. Again, also we did the parade outreach. Supplied water. We had people out here. You know, the parade was a lot smaller this year in terms of entries. They were down by last year there was like 130 entries. This year there were 100 entries. So the parade was a little shorter. There wasn't much for floats. But we like did what we normally do. And Jen got her team together, and they built this really beautiful float. If you missed it, you really missed something. It was gorgeous. The newspaper called it the Narnia float or something like that. Anyhow, nonetheless, it was beautiful, and we took first place. Which, while not the goal, is always nice. Jen, you're getting a lot of trophies out there, can I just say? And even though the parade was smaller and things like that, here's the thing is that we actually got more connection with people as we were going along the parade route. And I've heard from a number of people since then. Actually, we've got some people here this morning who've been watching us over the years and kept saying, I got to figure out who that church is. And then finally this year came and joined us for worship. So I'm excited about that. Just Just saying to our community that we are a part of this community, that we want to be a part of it and to care for people and reach out to people and extend a hand to our community. And so we keep doing that. We keep giving them the water bottles, letting people park out here for free, and just trying to, you know, connect with our community. So with all of that going on, this year, without a barbecue, here's the cool thing. We still had 130 unique persons being invited to volunteer banquet this year on January 25th because 130. Now, keep this in mind. I told you live attendance right now is around 200 between the two services, give or take a little. Last year, we were pushing the 300 or so, but in that whole process, we still had 130 people volunteer. That's like 76% of you volunteered at least once this last year, even without doing the big outreach. Now, when you keep in mind that like the average is like 20% of the people do 80% of the work, like that's totally busting that. I keep praying. Like last year, it was like 60 some odd percent, and I was like, wow, you know, this is fantastic. This year, it's 76%, I just got to think that as we continue to create an atmosphere as a church, that it's about being the church, not just going to church, that I really believe one day we're going to see 100% participation. The scholars say that's not possible, but I just look at Acts chapter 2 and I say, yeah, it is. It really is. Because I don't think most people come to church thinking, what's the least I could do? And I just want to just, you know, like not have anything to do with this place. We come to church with the anticipation of connecting and building relationships and caring for one another. And we just need permission. And sometimes we get kind of lost in that shuffle. So I'm just believing that we're going to do it. We really are. All right, so hats off to you. You deserve that applause. As always, we didn't go into debt. We lived within our means, something we'd love to teach our government. When you consider, listen, how many churches closed their doors in 2020 due to financial collapse? Look, it was already a big deal that we lived within our means year after year. In the course of the 10 years of being a church, the only debt we have ever had is this building. It's the only debt we currently have is this building. And to be honest, it's because it was cheaper than renting. Significantly cheaper than renting. Renting a space about this size, just this room alone, would cost more than our house payment. And we actually pay extra. So I'm just excited to tell you that we not only got through the year without going into debt. But listen, here's the really cool thing. We actually outgave last year. Yeah. I was absolutely stunned when we got to the end of the year and we had outgiven last year. Because of that, some of the things that refinement things that we didn't actually get, you know, didn't work. We've been able to put aside some money for those things. That's why I said we have some savings and we were able to pre-fund a number of things that are for 21. And so that all during 21, we can save for the things we're going to do in 22. And so like we are trying to do just like what we urge people to do with Dave Ramsey is to save ahead of time instead of waiting and like funding it up to the last minute. And so we're creating those, some safety nets there. I'm not saying we're rolling in cash. Okay. I don't want to give that impression. I'm just simply saying that we are being responsible and God is continuing to bless that. And if we stay on the track where we are, then as we get to the end of 21, we will be locked and loaded and ready for 22, and we won't be constantly in that thing of, are we going to have enough in time? Are we going to get the money together? Are we going to have enough for the barbecue in time for the barbecue? Things like that, that every year are stressors that we go through as a financial team. All of those can go away starting this year. because we started in the right place when we walked into 21. For the first time, we weren't like, you know, clawing our way through every last penny. And so we were walking into this year just doing really well. And that's because of you, your faithfulness through all of that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll continue doing, you know, better planning and hopefully continue to be less stressful. All right, I can see I'm already over time. So here, I got to get moving here. As I said, our only debt is our building. And our debt to ownership in this building is fantastic. We're going to keep working on getting that down. Our board and financial team have sought to, you know, honor God's, you know, through the gifts that you give. Make sure that that we're taking care of our facilities. Make sure that we account for every penny. Every year we have an audit, or not really an audit, but a review. It's one step below an audit. We have a review of our books where they go through all of our entries and make sure that everything is accounted for, that we did what we said we would do with the money. We have that coming up. We're a little earlier in doing this. So in a couple of weeks, February 7th, as we do some vision casting for the next year, we'll share with you then the outcome of that review. But we do that every year with Steeple Accounting. And one of the things they said to us last year, and they continue to express to us, is that how much they appreciate that we have everything ready. When they come, we have everything ready. We're constantly on the cutting edge of being up to date with all the latest rules. Our team reviews those things, make sure that we're compliant, we're doing all the things legal. February 7th, we got Life Group kickoff, Vision Weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. I hope that you are planning on being here February 7th. And then hopefully we're going to see the Buccaneers playing in the Super Bowl. Not saying that's I heard from the Lord or anything, but I just, you know. Anyhow, but here we are as we're heading, you know, here into 21. I feel really confident. Can I just tell you that even though the church is going in our society are going through some really difficult times, I just have this deep-seated sense of joy and hope, not based on circumstances, but based on the sense that I believe that we are listening to the Lord, that we're doing our dead level best to follow hard after Him, that you are joining in that, that it's, you're not just sitting there taking it in and just kind of surveying things, that the vast majority of you are engaged in this whole thing of being the church. And I feel like that makes all the difference as we head into the new year. We're making real headway in accomplishing the goals of our vision. I believe we are substantially on task with the mission of the church. We've got some adjustments to make. I'm going to talk about some of those in a couple of weeks, but even though we haven't arrived, listen, I think if we double down on some of this business of making disciples, that we're going to come out the other side of 21 and beyond with a real sense of that God is at work among us and that our best days are yet ahead of us, even if they're difficult, even if they don't look like they do right now, that the best days of the Church of Jesus Christ are upon us, not behind us. The question is in what do we put our confidence in? And where do we put our hope? So with that in mind, as I look toward this year, I really believe that God is calling us as a church to fast and pray. So tomorrow morning, actually my newsletter is asking you to join me for a day of prayer and fasting. Monday, January 18th, it's Martin Luther King Day. Many of you have the day off. One of the things I'm always saying about prayer and fasting is it doesn't make sense to pray and fast and then go to work at business as usual, and then you don't actually spend any time praying. You just are hangry all day long, and nobody can stand you. That's not spiritual. Well, it might be the devil, you know, but it's not of God. So can I just tell you, if you are able to join us earnestly, let me invite you to take that day. If you cannot do that day, if you have to work on the 18th and you need to take a different day, let me encourage you, then do that. But I just think it's interesting that we've got a holiday coming up that was supposed to be all about reconciliation in our nation and things like that. And so I just want to ask you, would you take Monday, January 18th to fast and pray with me for the healing of our land, but specifically for a great awakening? You know, the history tells of our great, there are two periods of great awakening in the American church. And in those moments, can I just tell you that the situation was not good? One of them, when you look at the first great awakening in the late 1700s, like, did you know that less than 1 in 4 Americans actually went to church? I know we have this, like, mythology about our history that everybody was a Christian, but it's not true, okay? Only 1 in 4 were actually a part of a church. And it was the Great Awakening that shifted all of that. The second Great Awakening was just before the Civil War, and a lot of people came to Christ in that moment, and it really shifted some things that happened in the Civil War. Can I plead with you, there hasn't been that kind of level of awakening in our country again. And I think a lot of it has to do with we've just been really comfortable, convinced that all of our neighbors and friends are all Christians and everything else. And it's just not true. Just because someone says that they are a believer doesn't mean it's true. Right? Just because someone calls upon the name of the Lord and uses God's name while they're talking politics doesn't mean that they're producing fruit that's in keeping with repentance. And so I think it's really important for you and I in this hour to take some time to fast and pray. So we're going to start with Monday the 18th, and then maybe we're going to like do that some more. Amen. Maybe we'll do it once a month. Amen. Maybe we might get on fire and do it once a week. Yes. I don't know. I remember John Wesley once said that he didn't want to call anyone to the ministry unless they fasted and prayed at least once a week. So I don't know. Maybe there's something to remember that was during the time of the Great Awakening when the Wesleys had their biggest effect in this country. Well, kudos to the staff, all upgrades around the building, paint and stage design. Gary Currier and others like helped build a puppet stage. We got coffee bar wall. Give them a big hand. So here's where we're at. Loving God through worship and through obedience. Loving people by not only loving one another, but by praying for the sick, by maturing the congregation and life groups, by loving up on people in the community center and things like that. And then passing it on through those meals, through recovery ministry, through organized outreach. I mean, we've just been very intentional about just continuing to plod on, to keep doing what we said that we were about. When God spoke to us in 2020, we took it serious, and we continue just to do the things that we've been doing. And, it's easy to just like dismiss that because it's not dramatic and it's not huge and it's not some fancy thing. You know, you can't sexy it up. It's just being faithful to be the church. But can I tell you that God is a whole lot more interested in faithful than he is sexy? Hello? Yes. So we're loving God, we're loving people, we're passing it on, we're equipping the saints through teaching of the scriptures, through training like Kingdom U and programs like Leadership Education and Development. And I think the reason that we fared so well in 2020 is that commitment to stick to the main and the plain of God's word, to major in the majors and not to get off track on the mission by majoring in those minor points. Let me tell you, there's a number of doctrines that people spent a lot of energy chasing down this last year. Can I just tell you, as I look across the things that the church spent so much of its energy arguing over in the last year on Facebook, bringing shame to the body of Christ in front of the world. Thank you for sticking to the main in the plane. There are lots of good things, even godly things that we can do as a church, but if we do not fulfill the mission, if we do not stick to the main in the plane, all the doing of good things, if anything, 2020 should have reminded us that too much energy is spent on something other than the primary mission. That when churches did not see any salvations or baptisms, there's something fundamentally wrong. If the vast majority of churches did not do any organized outreach, something is fundamentally wrong. And if we won't do it in times like 2019, how do we do it in 2020 or in 2021? I don't know about you, but we weren't even a week in, and I wanted to give, I was like, wow, my trial subscription has run out, and I'd like to, try something else. And I'm not saying that so that we can compare ourselves with anybody. See, I'm making a point that if the church is off mission in good times, it certainly will not get back on track when the going gets tough. It's not a put down. It's not a pat on the back. It's the urgent reminder, it's the urgent call that we stay the course, that we do not become distracted, and that we fulfill the great commandment and the great commission so that we can hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Let's stand together, shall we? So where are you? That's the word that the Lord gave to Adam and Eve when he came and was walking through the cool of the garden, and suddenly they realized that they were naked. Where are you? It's not a location question. It's the measure of the heart. And hopefully where we find ourselves is in a place of faithfulness, of being able to say, "Here I am, Lord, here I am." On the other hand, sometimes we find ourselves in that moment when the accountability comes to call and we hear the voice of the Lord that says, "Where are you?" We recognize that there's a need to tidy up the affairs of the heart, or maybe it's a complete overhaul of the situation. Maybe it's a moment of where we fall before Him and weeping and mourning for the way things are, and maybe they're a moment of celebration because we can say, we can hear the voice of the Lord say, "Well done." If you're just basically on track, can I invite you, as our prayer team members come on up, that you would maybe just go and meet with a prayer team member and say, it's been a fruitful year, it's been a good year, and just like you to pray with me that I continue, that I would be accountable to others to faithfully walk this out and to do what the Lord has for me to do. Maybe it's a moment of tweaking, of just asking the Lord, how could 21 be better, different? How might I reorganize or change some things? Maybe I need to deal with some stuff in my heart. Maybe you've been off track, just you allowed the fear and the situation and everything to get you way off where you intended to be. And now it's about prayer to get back on track for 21. And there could be any other needs. It could be prayer for healing this morning, prayer for financial stuff. I mean, the reality is life just keeps going on, doesn't it? Regardless of when the world shuts down and it looks like everything is stopped, you and I both know that the world really does keep going on, and it doesn't wait for us to stop and get off or get back on or anything else. It just keeps moving, and then and you and I find ourselves either falling further behind or running into places that we never meant to. And so I just want to invite you, if you have any need for prayer this morning, that either turn to the person next to you and pray or come up and join one of these prayer team members. But don't let another day go by without seeking prayer and accountability of brothers and sisters, of doing life together. That's what it means to be the church. Father, I just want to thank you for your son Jesus, and I pray now that just your spirit would be upon us, and that as we walk out of these doors, that we would do so filled with your power and presence to be salt and light in a world that is dark and tasteless, that needs hope and light, that needs to be seasoned with grace, with mercy, and with the good news of Jesus Christ. Send us out to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. And if you did, there's two things I'd love to ask of you. Number one, would you subscribe to our show? That way, the most recent podcast will be in your feed, ready for you when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to help us continue to reach others, you can click on the link in the description to give now.